Can you hear the music?
I can hear.
All right, fucking part two, let's go.
It's better this time.
You can hear it better now?
Yeah.
Love this shit. This gets me right fired up to like record in general. I love it. Love it. Yeah. Oh, I love that. All right, let's try it again. Welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. Shout out to Svenjan Boychuk for that incredible intro outro music. You can find him all over the socials. And today we have special guest Ben Dempsey, aka Breakwater Tiling.
Yep, happy to be here, man.
Fucking part two, dude. But I put my phone on Do Not Disturb this time, so like I'm glad we were only like 20 seconds into that when that happened. So
I waited a couple of minutes. I thought maybe you'd pop back in.
Ah, man. I ignored him the first time, and then he called me again. I'm like, ah, fuck. It's my boss. You know, I can't ignore him twice, right? And then
Right.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, man, I'm literally, like, I don't have to work until later on tonight. Like,
right.
You know, like, leave me alone. This is my free time now, right? And he's like, I need you to go do something for me. It's like, fuck. And then
you're on call, like, during the day, and then... And then, like, your shift starts in the night, eh?
Well, I'm on call 24/7.
Right.
This job that I'm on right now just happens to be, it's not necessarily a nighttime gig, but it's like whenever they're ready, right? They're drilling
right.
And we're doing cement jobs and shit like that. The first one was at like 2 p.m. and then they ran into some issues and it got pushed. The second one got pushed to 6 p.m. and then
right. This
one should be around 6 p.m. or a little later.
So, okay.
Yeah, so you know it's interesting. It's interesting how it works sometimes. So
fucking
life in the service aspect of the oil and gas industry.
Oh yeah, I know all about it.
Oh yeah, yeah. You worked in the oil field for a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Worked there for I'd say almost 7 years.
Oh fuck.
Worked on a service rig, and
that's not really the oil field. Come on now.
Yeah, it's not. Rig. But, cowboy rig, but yeah, it's it was good. Like, I mean, I enjoyed it. I definitely got a lot of my work ethic from being out that way.
I can't
take anything away from that. Just like, as you know, with being away from family and stuff, it's hard.
Dude, 100%. And man, I've been in it for 12 years now, man. You know what I mean? And like, my daughter, my oldest is 6. So, you know, her whole life, and I've been in it for, you know, 6 years prior to that. So, man, time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, that's true. True statement. Yeah.
I thought you were from Ontario originally, man. Like, because of the toughest nails thing, right? And I was just like, man, like I thought you were from Ontario, and like I was bantering back and forth with you about Hamilton there a bit, thinking this guy gets it, you know? But like,
so you're right from the hammer. They call it the hammer.
From the hammer, right from Steel City, baby.
Yeah. So we didn't get to see like much of the place. Like I said, there's not really much there, to be honest, when we were filming, but it was more or less. Like, we were locked in our rooms, man, like, until we would do the filming and then get out. But we didn't get to venture around, so.
I guess it's kind of sort of like the Amazing Race and stuff like that, right? You're not allowed to be on your phone, not allowed to use social media, you're not allowed to do anything while they're filming.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is. And then we were doing, like, the whole COVID thing as well, right? So there was a risk of that where... if you were to go out in a boat and somebody got COVID, then it would kind of ruin the whole production.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Man, that's wild, dude. Like, you know, like COVID was, someone said to me on last week's episode, like, you know how there's all this talk about the Great Reset?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What if COVID was the Great Reset? It makes a lot of sense. It made a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. Right. It really does.
Yeah.
There's so much though, man. Like, I could go on for days about that. I don't know.
Yeah, man. I had COVID twice, and the first time I don't even know if I had it. I think it was a false positive.
Mm-hmm.
I took 6 guys with me in camp, and I got paid to sit in my room for 12 days. I think it was for for 12 days. I had to got paid to sit in my room. I went on TikTok live for 12 hours a day.
So what would you, could you go out into like the cafeteria, get food, or they bring it to your room or leave it at the door?
I had the cook's number, and anytime I wanted anything, I had to text, and he brought it to me.
Oh my, 12 days.
Yeah, it was great, dude. I was up all hours of the night. I fucked up my, and I wasn't allowed to say anything either because it was the beginning of COVID, and the small town we work in, everybody follows me on social media around here.
Right.
And if I said anything about COVID, me having COVID, they're like, nobody will call us. Right.
Really?
So like you go to your room, you don't mention anything about having COVID. And it just happened to be around breakup. So like everyone's like, why are you in your room? Why aren't you working? Oh, it's breakup. It's slow right now. Well, why aren't you at home? You know, just in case I'm needed, you know? And oh dude, it was crazy. Right. And every now and then I'd be live and you could see like people, I recognize their names, people from upper management coming into my live streams.
Yeah.
And watching. And it wasn't me who leaked it. There's a group of 16 companies and someone within the group of 16, they said something about me having COVID and I didn't even get in shit for it. They're like, everyone's like, no, he didn't say it. Like we were watching him like a hawk. Anytime he was on the internet, we knew.
Wow.
Yeah.
So like, how did you find out? Did they do they test you regularly when you're up there?
So at that time, yes, but I was working in Dawson Creek, which is like 4 hours away. And I was with one of my coworkers who lives in Dawson Creek. And he'd go home every night and we were cleaning tanks. And he was talking about how everyone at his wife's work tested positive for COVID. And he's like, yeah, my wife's going to go get tested today. I'm like, okay, cool, or whatever. And he went home to have lunch with her. Comes back and he's like, oh, she tested positive. I'm like, so you're positive now. He's like, probably. And I'm like, nice. I'm hanging out with you. I'm like, let's finish this. I'm going to leave. You give me 2.5 hours to get on the other side of Grand Prairie because I am not quarantining here for 2 weeks. And right. I'm not quarantining here. You give me 2.5 hours. I'll call you when I'm on the other side of Grand Prairie and let you know where I'm at. And then you call our boss and tell him. He's like, deal. So fucking, I drove, I got to the other side of GP, I told him where I was, and then like 10 minutes later, my boss calls me, you take that fucking truck, you take the keys, everyone's moving your shit into another shack right now, you take the keys, you just hang out there, right? And like, don't you leave, and tomorrow you have a COVID test. And I'm like, all right. So fucking, I go get my test. On the way there, I stop at Tim Hortons. I get tested. On the way back, I get McDonald's. I go back to my room and I chill. 2 o'clock in the morning, an email comes in. Oh, you test positive. So I waited till like 7 o'clock to tell everyone. And man, it was pretty great. And all panic ensued. Like the three guys I hung out with a lot, they had to go in quarantine. They get tested. The guy I was working with tested positive. A guy who went home on days off and a guy that I worked with. So there was like six of us. I took six guys with me. Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, I mean, man. Yeah, it was wild.
It was such a wild time, yeah. Man. Like I had it once and I was one of those ones that like I completely lost taste, lost my smell. And that lasted for like 5 days. But I didn't have any crazy symptoms, like as far as like being sick, but what a wild thing. Like it's one of those things now, like if I get sick, I'm not going to take a test, you know, I'm just going to, it's just like a cold to me. So
But other than that, man, like if a couple of the companies, if you had to be on site for 7, you had to go get tested every morning before you could go on their site.
Right.
And if you had to be on site for 7, let's say, you better be get in that lineup getting tested at 4:30 because the shack was full. Like the parking lot was full. Right. Wow. And then there was another one where if you weren't staying in their camp, you had to get tested every morning. And oh dude, it was wild, man. It was a wild time. COVID was such a wild time. And then there was the whole show me your vaccinated thing and, you know, it was wild, man. It was wild.
Yeah, it was.
And I couldn't go home I stayed in camp for 6 months at a time because like I was flying back and forth between Ontario and
right.
And, yeah. Yeah. So I just before COVID, like 4 months before COVID, I decided to move my family back to Ontario.
Yeah.
And it was probably a little bit before that because my wife wasn't pregnant yet. Oh, she was, but we didn't know she was. So it'd probably been like 8 months or so because we didn't know she was pregnant yet. And then just 2 days before the pandemic hit, my daughter was born. So yeah, man, it was a wild time, man. It was a wild time.
Yeah,
man. So fucking you're tiler. What made you decide to get into tiling? You go from the oil patch to tiling. Like, how did that happen?
It was one of those things. Like I played a lot of hockey growing up. And then it was kind of one of those things. I wanted to be a firefighter, and it didn't pan out. So I was kind of like, what do I do now type thing. So that's why I went out to the oil field. And then that wasn't really the lifestyle I was looking for. Wasn't happy, came home. And then I was a fisherman for a few years, doing like lobster, swordfish, and the same sort of thing. Just not happy. Right. And then I just kind of got into something with a guy that owned a business that was into renovating. And he kind of didn't really know how to run a company. And I was kind of running it. And I was like, geez, man, like I could do this. So, and then I had a few opportunities. I worked alongside HGTV when I first started out doing tiling.
That's cool.
And then it kind of just took off. Like I knew I wanted to be in the higher end type of builds. And if you take pride in your work, it just shows, and then you can grow it that way. So that's kind of how I got into it. I just kind of found my niche, man. I kind of just fell into it.
Fuck, that's pretty badass, man. Like, yeah. So when you're talking like swordfish and shit, how big are these fuckers?
The biggest one we caught was 650 pounds, and that was off of the Grand Banks of Newfoundland. So it was.
Wow.
It was quite big. That was long lining, but we also did like harpooning, which you'd have a guy like right out the front of the bow and
like wicked tuna.
Yeah, pretty much. Same sort of thing. Yeah.
That's cool, man. I'm trying to get Dave Marciano is coming on the podcast. We're just working on a time and what works for everyone right now.
Right, right.
That's cool, right. Man. That's so
yeah,
cool.
Man. It was good, but it was just one of those things, man. Like I just all the experiences I've had in my life working like in the oil field and stuff, I feel like it led me up to have the capabilities to grow where I'm at now. Like I said, got my great work ethic from being out in the oil industry.
Teaches you a lot.
It teaches you a lot. Right. So, I have no regrets. I just, had a lot of growing up to do and kind of found my niche where I'm at now and couldn't be happier, buddy. Things are just kind of falling in place.
It's huge, man. Do you own your own tiling company or are you?
I do. Yeah.
Nice. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you, and man.
Now I'm on the podcast with Dick. So
fuck yeah, man.
Thanks for looking up.
I don't know. I don't know if that means you're climbing a ladder or you're sliding backwards, but like you're here. So whatever. For me, that's a bonus, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm kind of like, the Walmart bin for Mike Rowe, I guess Mike Rowe's Walmart bin, you know. Trying to get Mike Rowe on, I gotta bring that up.
gotta get the
Rowe plug in there somehow.
Yeah, no man, I enjoy it. Like I like tile, and it's just one of those things that's kind of like an art to me, where it's kind of weird to say, but it's like therapeutic to me, you know what I mean? So
was it you that made that video that went viral where Buddy was using the stamper thing and then you slapped it? No, he was slapping his hand and then you had the stamper thing and then you're just like, yeah, boom, and then
that was Rock Steady.
That's fucking funny, man.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Yeah, he I don't know what it's up to now, but I think it got like 24 million views or something like that.
That's nuts. So as a tiler, are you telling me that you're good on your knees?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Big time. I got like four knees now.
Ooh, buddy, you sucking all the dicks, right? Like, yeah. You're like Oprah, you get a dick suck. You get a dick suck. You know, like,
Yeah.
Shit, that's fuck. Hey, there's no children around, are there?
No. No, we're I'm childless, man. Like we've been trying for like I'm 35, 36, and we've been trying for like a year and a half now, and it's just they don't tell you how hard it is when you're growing up, right? They're all like they try to scare you away from it, but no, it's we're ready and we're trying. We're not getting too frustrated yet. So
I'm 35. We're not done yet. We're trying for one, maybe two more. And let me tell you though, like the two that I do have at my age, bro, I feel it in the lower back, you know, like,
yeah.
Like I got like, oh, you got you. I say to my wife all the time, like she's like pulling her hair out and like, oh, I'm exhausted. You want to do this two more times, babe? You know, like, hey, you know what? I don't care. I work away, you know? Like,
yeah. So you want four. So you have two now and you want two more?
Yeah. My, if it was up to her, we'd have six. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys kind of broke in between.
I didn't want any. She wanted six. So we're meeting in the middle here. Right. Yeah. I also didn't want to get married either. Right. But then, you know, you meet the right one and you start running out of reasons not to. Right. And it's like, well, damn, you know, I just want to make her happier than anyone ever could possibly be, right? So like if that's what she wants, that's what I want. Oh, right.
That's great, man.
And so boom, we've been married 11 years this year and together almost 20, man. It's been a ride, man. Yeah.
Man, so you're like 35. So you guys were like, was that your day one?
Day one, man. That was like high school shit. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Nice,
I just wanted the poom poom and she saw other things and fucking you know, who knew that, you know, when they say that shit's addicting, it's addicting, man. And, you know, nah, she's amazing, bro.
That mustache kept on growing, getting longer.
Yeah, well, you know what makes it grow, right? It's not the water. So, you know. But no, all my friends call her all-in-one. They're like, man, that's all-in-one right there. She's got an amazing work ethic. She's smart, funny. She actually helps me a lot with the videos I make. She's like, you need to do this, say this, and have this in your hand and like kind of do this kind of gesture. And it's like, shit, okay. And she's an amazing mother. She, you know, best teammate ever. You know what I mean? Like,
that's awesome, man.
You in terms of like sports, man, I found a free agent and I locked that down to a long-term contract that she's never getting out of. I tell her all the time. I say this all the time, man. Like if she ever wants out, this becomes a murder suicide. So
yeah.
Like,
that's great, man.
Yeah, there'll be brain matter everywhere, you know. So it's like I'm going all in, right? You think I'm joking? But she's good shit, though, man. You know, I look around at other people in my generation, not to say that like they're not also good parents and they're not also like hardworking and stuff like that. It was just I had those standards and she set the bar, right? So now, it would take a lot to reach, you know, I don't think that bar could be reached ever again, right? So, you know, this setting the stage for a good, my wife died of cancer story, right? So, you know, I hope not, but you know, you never know. Well, something we can joke about? I don't know.
It takes, like I said, it takes a good woman too for you working away all the time and being with the kids. Like
100%.
That's a whole different ball game right there, right? So
it's not an easy lifestyle, man. As you know, right? Like
no.
Were you with your woman or with someone when you were in the oil field?
I was, but we're not. That's long gone. I met my wife now when I got home and when I started fishing. But you know,
she's wrong, bro.
Yeah, she's seen the darkest of me, so and stuck around. So thank you for that.
Same with my wife, dude. You know what I mean? Like we were kids, dude. We were kids, you know. And she seen how my dad was and kind of the direction that I could be going in, right? And like that's not who I should be or anybody should be like. And she stuck by me through like a lot of it. I had a lot of growing up to do, and she stuck by that. And she said to me, and I tell this a lot too. She said to me, she's like, I asked her sometimes, like, why'd you stick around? And I haven't asked her in a while because, you know, I already know the reason. But she said, I saw something in you that I thought was worth waiting for. And I knew one day it would happen. And And man, that was mind blowing. You know, it takes a special woman, you know what I mean? And
yep.
Yeah. So, and same, you know, we're growing like this. And I think in the last couple of years, we're only getting better. We're only getting tighter, closer, you know, and our goals are even more in sync than they were years ago. So
that's awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good to hear, man.
Hell yeah, man. It's yeah. This is why I work away. This is what I go away for, right? I go away for them, right? So
yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a good deal. My wife gets to be a stay-at-home mom, man. Like in this economy, that's hard. That's hard, man, you know, and we make it work. So
yeah. So did you, when you guys first met, were you always working away? Like did you?
No, we were in high school, so I didn't really, I worked with my dad on weekends in the summer.
Right.
Yeah. But I started off, my dad worked away a lot, right? He has his own construction company, and I worked with him right after high school. I was on the road the whole summer and most of the time. So, yeah, she kind of knew, like, that's what I was getting into. But, you know, it wasn't until, like, maybe 2-3 years after high school where I started going away. Yeah, I stopped working for my dad and started working at home. And, you know, and then 2 or 3 years later, I got a job in the oil field, and that's when I started, you know, going away. So, like, most of our 95% of our relationship has been this. So,
okay, awesome.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, why? What made you get in? Like, why tiling? You could have done anything. You could have gotten into literally any trade, done anything, and you said the work ethic thing in your own company. Like, why did you settle on tiling? Like, what was the allure of that?
I honestly, man. Like I said, I worked in a renovation company, and I don't know, man. There were certain times where we would have to do a little bit of tiling, and I just was good at it, and then I kind of took to it. I found it fun. I liked being able to create something that a client could see and be like really happy about, and I knew I could get better. And then social media, buddy, like there is just so many tile influencers out there. That's how I learned. That's how I learned my knack for certain quality that I had was through that. I just fell in love with it. I didn't go in there thinking I was gonna be a tiler. I just needed to find something that was my niche, and I kind of just found it by just growing with the trade itself.
It's badass.
Yeah,
you get to work inside in the warmth, right? Like you come in after everything's, you know, that's
a bonus. I didn't really take to that. Like at the start, I didn't really, I never really thought of it until the more I did it and like I'd have to go outside. Man, I would just turn into a big pussy. Like I was just like, no, like.
So who's the bigger pussy, inside. You or an electrician?
It's a hard one. <That's> a hard one. I think we're pretty equal there.
You clean up after yourself though?
Oh yeah, man.
So the electrician is a lesser person then.
I wouldn't say that. I'm not getting into that.
We're going to start a war here by the end.
Yeah, we're going to start. I got some electrician buddies. But, yeah, I don't know. I enjoy it. I enjoy being indoors now. I feel like I kind of put my time in with, you know, having that rough lifestyle. And, yeah, it just makes me happy. So.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Do you live in like a rough part of Halifax or did you grow up in a rough part of Halifax?
I wouldn't say like we grew up in a small knit community like Fishing Village in Herrinco, which is beautiful. We are close to Spryfield. So I went to school in Spryfield, which is, you know, growing up, there's more stuff that would happen in that area. But no, not, where I grew up, man, it's beautiful here.
I've never been east of Montreal. So like my goal is one day to like, you know, I got to bypass Quebec altogether. They're not a real place. So, you know, I got to go to like right to New Brunswick, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah. So you've never been down Nova Scotia.
Never been east of Montreal.
Wow.
Yeah. Went to Montreal. They could speak English. They chose not to. And now I'm in Alberta. I hate Quebec for a whole other reason. So
yeah. You gotta check out Halifax, man. It's beautiful here.
I know a lot of people that live around there or from there that I've worked with over the years. So it's definitely a goal.
Mind you, it is getting like it's almost like slowly turning into like a Toronto. Do you know what I mean? Like it's getting like overpopulated, like but so be it with Canada, right? Like it's just
I live
things.
downtown Edmonton pretty much.
Oh, do you? So
I
you're right
live
in the city.
right downtown. Oh yeah,
Really?
I'm in like the concrete jungle. Yeah, oh yeah. I
So you
live
got a
like
house,
right in the
like a
ghetto.
house?
Yeah,
You got
I live in the ghetto.
really? I
Oh
don't
yeah.
think I've been to Edmonton. I just trying to picture it again. It's been so long. Been to a
It's not
couple
so
Oilers
bad.
games.
It's
No,
not
it's
so
not.
bad. It's cleaned itself. Like it hasn't cleaned itself up, but like they've been cleaning it up, right? The area. Like I haven't had any issues there. There's only been one or two shootings in a couple blocks away, a couple stabbings. Some woman got kidnapped there like a couple months ago. But it's fucking
You
it's
get that
BC.
everywhere.
You get that everywhere, man. Like Buddy just wanted to keep warm in the car. Didn't know she was in the back seat. He went on a joyride, looked behind him, and there's this woman in the back seat who's deaf and blind and autistic, I think. She was 40 years old, right? Like he, as soon as that Amber Alert went out, he ditched the car real quick, right? So, like
Jeez.
shit. Oh shit, I got someone in the back seat. Oh shit. Hopefully nobody misses you for at least till I get closer to home. I got a curfew.
So do you got you like it there? You like Edmonton? Like
I
did
love
you?
Edmonton.
Yeah, you do.
I lived in Calgary for 2 years before I moved back to Edmonton. So I lived in Edmonton for 6 years. Moved back to Ontario for like a year and a bit, and then moved back to Alberta. We chose Calgary. I stayed in Calgary for 2 years, and then now we're in Edmonton for the last 8 months.
And you moved to Edmonton just because it was semi it's closer?
It's a lot closer to work. I'm 2 hours away from home instead of 5 or 6. So,
Yeah. And that can
yeah,
get annoying.
it sure can, man. I got evacuated twice last year due to wildfires, and having to drive 5 hours home in the evening, when you're already tired, sucks, right? Drive that 2 hours is nothing. That extra three and a bit is it takes forever.
I
Yeah.
agree. There was a guy on the show from Edmonton, Dustin. He's an Edmonton firefighter, but yeah, he likes it, man. Like they got big parks there, and yeah, he grew up there, so I think he loves it there.
Edmonton is known as Canada's festival city, right? There, it's so much going on there all the time. Lots of festivals, lots of culture. It's amazing. It's an amazing town. I love it. Yeah.
There's always concerts going on there too. I remember always
Always.
going to it, like every weekend there was like somebody there.
Oh yeah, I had a chance to go see the Tragically Hip on their last show or Simple Plan, and I chose Simple Plan. I was like, yeah, I've never seen Simple Plan before, right? And I'll never see Gord again. He's never coming back,
I
right?
went to that one. I went to see the Hip when I was there. So that was what? How many years ago was that?
Probably
Yeah,
12.
so I went.
Oh, probably 7 or 8.
Yeah, so I went and seen him when that was the ending. That Garth Brooks was there. That was
Have you seen
good.
the guy on TikTok called Girth Brooks?
Garth Brooks.
Yeah,
What a name.
he works in the oil patch. He works on a rig, and his TikTok name's Girth Brooks.
Garth Brooks.
Girth is wealth, and he's found his calling, I guess.
That's awesome.
So, speaking of the show, how did you even get on that? Like, would they just reach out to you, or did you have to apply to get on, or what?
I used to watch the show because the only really show, reality shows I used to watch would be something that was along trades. So I just thought it was a cool show. And then my old man said that they were allowing Canadians to compete. So I was like, yeah, I'll just, for the sake of it, I'll apply. And yeah, it just kind of went from there. They just kept on coming back.
Badass.
It was a process for sure, especially being in Canada. But it was yeah, it worked out. Like I knew if I was to get on the show, I knew that I could have a pretty good chance. So
So did they have to like send you for like a preliminary round, or are they like is it was it like a speed dating thing? They sat down and like, so Ben, what do you like? Long walks on the beach and margaritas, or what? Like how did they do that? Like, did they measure your biceps, or
Yeah, they did that. They did. They,
did
you know,
they?
No, but
Oh.
no, like we had to do, there was a lot of, you had to be in good shape. There was testing for physical testing. But like, lots of meetings and stuff over Zoom and stuff, just talking to you. I think they already had kind of an idea who they were looking for, the type of person, and where I had so much of a background, I think that helped. Like being in the oil industry and fishing and now a tiler, they didn't really want to talk much about the tiling because it wasn't as cool as fishing in like the oil industry. But yeah, man, it honestly, it just worked out. I mean, semi-lucky, I think. But mind
That's
you,
pretty cool.
I don't know how many people tried out either, right? So
How many people did you compete with? Like 16 or what?
like from the beginning or like on the show?
Yeah, like from like when you were on the show, how many people were you up against? Like there, like before, like the final one,
There was 12 contestants. There was four Canadians and eight Americans.
Or man, they didn't they seriously
They, right?
underrepresented those Canadians, man.
Why didn't they go 6 and 6? Like,
Well, you won, right? So
yeah.
that's why they didn't have more Canadians, man. They knew. Hey, remember the last time it was Canada versus the USA? We burned their fucking White House down. And then we were nice enough. We were like, "Oh shit, sorry." And we left. Any other country would have been like, "This is our shit now." Right? America would
So,
have done that to us. They would have marched into Ottawa, burnt that shit down, planted their flag, and we would be America right now. It's true.
it's true. But
Yeah, man.
yeah, that was a good experience, man. Yeah, I mean, it all worked out.
So what kind of what kind of tests or things did you have to do when on the show to like to what kind of obstacles did you have to overcome?
I mean, there was like you have every trade there, so you'd have carpenters there. There was, like I said, firefighters. There was iron workers. There was a motorcycle fabricator, builder. So like there was like a lot of trades. Our electrician was there.
He lost first, right?
me think. I'm trying to think. No.
No, okay. All right.
But yeah, no, what, yeah, it was just like there was a lot of steel competitions because it was like the steel, you know what I mean? The hammer, right? So they involved a lot of that into it there, but it was just more or less there was a lot of physical challenges. There was because we're divided, you're divided into two teams at the start, so there's team challenges and then there's the individual challenge, so you can win with your team. And if you win with your team, you can also win as an individual. So,
And you were with like an old man, right? Yeah.
my like at the end, yeah, he was Todd. He was 50, I want to say 56 or 58. But yeah, he was. I mean, he was an old man, but he was in shape. So,
Hell yeah. I work with
yeah,
a 70-year-old guy who could whoop everyone's ass here. His
that's what
arms
I
are here.
mean.
He's
Yeah.
not so much here anymore, dude. Like he took a hit of H2S like 40 years ago.
Are
Half a
you
brain.
serious?
Oh yeah, half a brain, dude. And like when I call him Flash from like Zootopia, right?
Yeah.
Because when he tells a joke, it takes like 100 years to get it out. And then like the laugh he does at the end is like, and it's like, yeah, all right.
So
And
that
like,
actually happens, eh? Like,
oh
if
yeah.
you take a hit from that, like it can like damage.
Oh, it should have killed him, man. He, yeah, oh yeah.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard of someone taking like, I've heard you've heard of people like going down from it and that was it, but I've never
Yeah.
heard of someone like actually like taking a big hit from it and
Well,
surviving.
most of them aren't here to tell the story, right?
That's what I mean.
Yeah, like
Yeah.
he's an old man. Him and I don't get along too well. It's my humor, and like I like to nitpick at him. I just like to like push his buttons, right? Like
Yeah.
he like the my favorite story to tell is we were in camp one time, and he's never late. His room is right next door to mine, and he's never late. So I came strolling out in the morning like right on time. I'll push it to right on time, right? Like I have to be there at fucking 6:30. I'm walking to you at 5:59 or 6:59, right? Or 6:29. Jesus, I'm bad at math. So I'm in the truck. I get there. I'm like, holy fuck, he's not here, right? So I call him a couple times, nothing. I'm like, fuck. 20 minutes goes by. I call my boss. I'm like, bro, I think this is the day. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's dead. Like, he's gone. My boss, like, what do you mean? I'm like, he's late. When was the last time he was late? You've known the guy for 30 fucking years. Like, has he ever been late? Never. So my boss is like, I'll call you right back. 20 minutes later, he comes running across the parking lot, holding his heart. I'm here. I'm here. I'm coming. And it's like, the guy can fucking move, man. Like, you know, I respect the hell out of him for still grinding it out into his mid-70s.
That's what I mean. That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, the part of that boomer generation that just won't die.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tough as nails.
Is he, does he have a plan, or is he just going to, like,
I think his plan is to die at work, right? Like, yeah. He's a fucking liability at this point.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I don't want to drive with him, right? Like, I don't want to be the guy, you know, like, Grandpa went out the same way as his passengers, yelling and screaming, right? And like, fuck, man, like, you know, he's good shit. We just don't get along all that well. I still respect him though. So
like, would you guys swap out on like who's driving? Like, will you drive one day, somebody else will drive the next?
Well, the vac truck, no, because like I don't have my class 3 and I don't want to get it either. But the crew truck, yeah, for the most part, yeah, but a lot of people don't trust me to drive. I have a habit of putting shit in the ditch. I make it a habit for sure.
Yeah.
Like it's a lot of fun, man. You know, like one minute you're on the road looking at the scenery, the next minute you're in the scenery looking at the road, right? So it's fuck it. I don't care. Like, no, like, man, they all make a joke, you know, like, I do the least amount of drugs, but I'm the most drug tested person, right? It's like, YOLO. You're like, no way you're doing this sober, right? And it's 100%, but you know.
That's hilarious, man.
Yeah, man. So like, you were telling me, like, what was the prize for winning Tough as Nails?
So it was the new, they promoted the Ford Lightning, but I ended up buying the 250, F-250 Super Duty Lariat. The electric was just more or less to promote their newest line. But they knew that that's not really what wasn't going to fly with me, because out here where I'm at, I'm not looking for a station when I'm working. And then the cash prize was 200,000 US. And then we also won with our team, which was another 40,000.
40,000 split between the team?
No, that's what we won. Like each person.
Yeah. Oh, wow. 40 grand each.
Yeah.
Man, so you came out of it pretty good.
Yeah, because it converted over to Canadian, so.
Yeah, and you know, when it's going the other way, it sucks, but coming back this way, it sure looks nice, doesn't it?
Well, we're tax-free with lottery winnings, right? So it worked out.
Yeah, so far, for now, until Trudeau changes that, you know. I'm surprised he hasn't got his fucking grubby paws on that yet.
Yeah, I know. I'm still nervous for tax time, but my accountant tells me, he's like, you're fine, so.
What are your own hours? You set your own hours, but like, you can't just phone it in. Like, you obviously you get like out of it what you put into it, but like, what do you try to do with your own company? I know my brother has his own company, and there's days where he'll show up at noon and leave by 3, right? So
I'm constantly working. Like, I'll even work weekends. Like, I'm so booked up here that it's kind of hard to take time off.
Yeah,
because for me, it's always like, if you, they'll just find the next guy. Not so much they'll find the next guy, but it's leaving the reputation, I guess you would say. Like, I want to be able to say when I'm going to start something, be there, and finish it when I say I'm going to finish it. But yeah, it's nice. Like, I obviously have short days. Like, if, like today, for example, I finish the job early and take off, right? So
yeah.
Yeah. But that's why I kind of wanted to get into running my own business, is to be able to be flexible with my own hours.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe one day that'll be for me, man, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to do the fucking 15 to 40 hours. You never know where that number's going to land shifts.
Right.
You know, I don't know how long I want to do that for. I mean, it pays pretty good, but, you know, the government definitely takes their fair share. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, that's the awful part of it. I mean, even running a business, like, there's so many pros and cons to it, man. Like, if there's a lot of headaches, and realistically, the government's taking like 35% of what I'm making, right? So,
yeah, man. Like, this pay period just ended. I had 172 hours in the 14 days, and, like, you know, I wanted to stop working like 7 or 8 hours ago, right? Like, after 160, 165 is my sweet spot, you know,
right? Because if you work over more, then it's getting taxed more.
You know, that's my sweet spot. I make the most when I'm working a little less. And fuck it, you know, I was really getting worried there towards the end. I got lucky. I had, like, the way the job ended up being, I had missing a whole day, so it kind of worked out in my favor a little bit. I was like, all right, I'm good with that. That's one whole day that's like wiped right off. Let's just do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If only we could, yeah. So you think, like, is this your plan, like your end plan, or are you looking, do you have other ideas?
I've started looking at other places. I recently applied for a crane operator apprenticeship.
Nice.
Right. So yeah. I was picking the brain of a crane operator on site. A couple other irons in the fire, but, you know, social media is kind of doing pretty good, but the unfortunate part there is that my whole niche is based off of me being at work. So
I know, yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, shit, I backed myself into a corner there, but other blue collar content creators have made it work. So
no, man, I praise you guys. Like the hustle that you guys have to do that all the time. Like, I try to get bigger with it and get more followers. It's hard to wrap my head around when I'm there to be able to start filming something, you know? And then I say, geez, I should have filmed that. But it's a whole different hustle, man. Like, it's a whole different grind.
It's hard for me to take my phone out while I'm actually working. When I have ass time, it's easier, and I get to show the rig or whatever in the background or the truck. But when I'm actually working, it's so hard. You know, it's not on my mind, oh, I got to bust my phone out and show this. I was in a rig tank cleaning it out the one day and in the cellar, and I'm like, shit, my phone's actually on me today. I'm like, hey, buddy, film this for me, right?
He
filmed it for me, and there's no service in there, so he filmed it on my camera, and then when I got out, I just posted it. It's like 2.5 million views on it now, right? And people like seeing that shit, right? So, I did it, and it did good, but, like, it's hard to do shit like that. You know, it's hard, right? So, you know, we talk about it all the time, and we were talking about it on site last night with the consultant. Blue collar in general, like blue collar, but the oil field in general has a huge marketing problem.
Yeah.
Right. And like, they wouldn't let us have our phones out on site for so long. And now it's kind of like, we're getting away with it here. Right.
Because they're
starting to see that, like, hey, if we want to get this shit going, there's a big dark cloud over the oil field, right? So, like, everyone looks down on it, like, ew, that's dirty, you're killing the planet, yada, yada, yada. We're showing, like, no, man, it's not that bad. You know, we're having a good time. And we're looked at as robots. You know, it's very serious, very, you know, militaristic, right? And, no, man, we're having a good time. We're showing that, you know, we like to have fun. You know? Yeah.
So do you think, like, when you, for your content, are you already have stuff in mind sometimes that you want to do? Like, do you plan it, or does it just come about?
Sometimes it's planned.
Yeah.
And then a lot, like 99% of the time, it's like extremely last minute, right? It's like, I see something, I'm like, ooh, I got something for that. Or I'll sit on that for a minute and think about it. And then a minute will literally a minute will pass. And then I've like, okay, I got something. But there are times where, like, no, like right now I'm carrying around this tube of lipstick with me because I have an idea for a video. Right? I saw a video on TikTok earlier, and I'm like, it made me belly laugh. Like, that, it fucking hurt to laugh. And I'm like, man, I got to do that video. And I'm trying to get the guy that did it into Troll right now. Right? Oh, really? But okay, he doesn't have an Instagram account. I'm trying to convince him to get an Instagram, start moving his shit over there, because that guy's hilarious.
What is he on, TikTok?
He's on TikTok, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Are you on TikTok?
I am, but I didn't really build off of that platform. Instagram was my kind of thing.
What's your Instagram account in case people want to find you, like, that are listening? And who knows how many people are listening, but.
Yeah, I know it's Breakwater Tiling.
Underscores in there or what?
Yeah, there is. There actually, yeah, sorry. Breakwater Tiling, and then there's just one underscore after it.
Boom. Find this guy on Instagram. He makes some of the best flooring content on the internet.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
don't tell is his name? E Tiling? Don't tell him I said anything. Yeah. Don't tell him I said that.
No, me and E Tiling, he's a good guy, man. We're actually quite close. Yeah. That's a good thing about is like being in that world, like same with Rocksteady, is a lot of friends that I made are through there, right? And they're same. Willing to, yeah, it's great. Like, the support is unreal.
Yep. I knew a lot of them before I became a part of that. Yeah. Before I became a part of that, I was following a lot of them. I saw them all. Like, me and Rough Iron Larry, we were friends outside of that. Like, through the internet, we had never met. But, like, he was on my podcast before I was even part of Troll. I was talking to him and following him for a couple years now. And same, he's been following me for a couple years. And then Slim Brick Jesse, you know, we've been following each other for a while, and then coming there, it turns out he's a part of the group. And Alberta Mechanic, who's recently new, we've been friends for a while. And, you know, so yeah, I think the last 3 or 4 years, him and I have been, he's lived like a half hour away from me. And the Gilbert Taping Sisters, they live like 40 minutes away from me. And
wow.
Yeah,
nice, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's cool to see, like, there's a lot of people in that group, a lot of blue-collar people in that group that all live in, like, the same area.
Right, right.
Or not far from that area.
Or right? Not far from, yeah.
Yeah. And then you got us Canucks up here who are just, like, we're doing this shit for free, you know what I mean? Like, they're all making money with their content. We're just here having a good time, right?
That's right, exactly, yeah.
What's your code for Troll?
It is BREAK10.
Break 10.
And you get that 10% off.
There you go. There you go. Use mine, use his. Who the fuck cares? As long as you're using it. but mine has the word dick in it. So It doesn't actually though. Mine is Frost.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. Shit.
I missed a real opportunity. That's what Slim said. Yeah, I'm like, man. I should get it changed. Shit.
Yeah.
I missed a real opportunity there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit. Awesome, hey, man, do you know what viscosity is?
Viscosity?
Yeah.
I know the term.
Well, you worked on an oil rig, right? You worked on a drilling rig, so.
Yeah. I didn't work on a drilling rig. It was a service rig.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You're not really in the oil field. Gotcha. Roger that.
Mind you, it's been a lot of years now, but what is that?
So viscosity is like the thickness of fluid, right?
It's like
thick? Is it not thick? How viscous is it, right?
Yeah.
And where I'm going with it is the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman. The Mudman deals in the thickness of the load, right? How thick is your load?
Pretty thick.
You're trying to get that girl pregnant, man. I hope it's thick, bro. Like, you know. And as a man in your mid-30s, holy shit, here we go again.
Maybe it's not that thick.
As a man in your mid-30s, our loads will never be thicker than they are right now.
We have the
thickest loads. We are the generation, we're at the age where we're just full of, we're thick. We're, boy, that's thick, right? And, like, fucking, I take zinc, too, so, like, mine's extra thick. So, it's goopy, man. It's like drywall putty, right? So, yeah. Right. So, fucking, the Mudman, he sponsors the podcast. He deals in the thickness of Lowe's. He's got all kinds of fancy equipment now that, you know, back in, it takes a lot of the guesswork out of, you know, determining viscosity, if you need to make it thicker or less thick. And, you know, shout out to the Mudman, bit it. Big help to this podcast. Been, you know, what was originally supposed to be a 5-episode run of being sponsored. We're fucking almost 60 episodes deep now.
Man,
right? Awesome. So, yeah, man. Awesome, it's, dude. It's crazy, man. We've come this far. He's helped out with a lot of shit. You know, the headset, the microphone. So, before we were doing it, we were just raw dogging the shit out of this without him. And, you know, so www.mudmarket.com and give the mudman a gander. He's a solid dude, and his gear, his logos are so like crisp. Like the new John Deere logo he has is just like, man, if my loads weren't thick when I looked at that, they would be thick.
They would be thick.
Something would be thick anyways.
I'll have to go take a look.
Hell yeah. Like the links in the bio too, I'm pretty sure. Like solid individual, man. Like one of the him and I have known each other or been talking on the internet anyway since long before the podcast was even a thing, and the fact that, you know, he's been here this long with me is crazy, you know. So I'm, you know, someone mentioned to me the other day, what about, you know, what are you going to do when other, you know, service companies or other trades companies come looking to for, you know, to put an ad on your blue collar podcast? I'm like, man, I welcome that shit, bring it, let's go.
100%. Right,
like breakwater tiling. You know, for all your tiling needs, he'll show up at noon and leave by 3, but he'll get it done.
That's perfect. We'll talk later.
Oh shit, man! No, it's a lot of fun, man. You know, like I got to MC an event here in the town I work in this past fall, and like it was Big Iron Days, and I had to go around to each of the venues and get to know them a little bit throughout the day and what they did, and then I had to go back and come up with a funny quip or something about them, right? Like this lady, she had canned goods like pickles and beets and shit like that, and I'm like, her name was Ann. So in canned goods, I'm like, have you checked out Ann's cans lately? You know, like they're, and I just,
I feel like you'd be the perfect MC.
Oh dude, it was fun. That was my first time ever doing that. I was nervous and you could tell, but like, you know, I went with it. There was one guy that was in a tent right beside me and he was laughing at it all night or all day. And that's all that mattered. I could hear him. Yeah. That's all I cared about. I was like, this guy gets it.
He was your hype guy.
But yeah, but apparently the organizer said, no, I was out in the crowd and everyone was laughing, right? I was like, yeah, that's good. All I could hear was this guy. That's who I was talking to at this point, right? Like, I would even look at him like, have you heard of Ann's cans? You know, like.
It's because you're quick off the whip, right? Like, I find you're so quick with everything.
Oh, man, that's childhood trauma, right? You know?
Yeah.
There
we go.
Daddy and I made videos in the basement when I was 6, and you know, no, that didn't actually happen. Well, you know, like shit. Maybe I'll edit that part out. I don't know. Maybe I won't. Maybe the police are showing up at my dad's door later. I don't know what the what's that called, the statute of limitations is on that kind of shit. Fuck. Oh, oh my god, man. So like are you a multi-billion dollar business yet?
No
are you close yet. Are you close?
No
you're not like retiring people off your business yet. You know, there's not generational wealth there yet.
The business is just me. Right. So I don't get any workers. I mean, I'd like to have workers working for me. It's just right now when people hire me, they want my work. So it's hard to trust people.
Has anyone ever used your videos on Instagram as a way to get a hold of you or hire you? Have you showed anybody, like, has anyone ever asked like, okay, what can you do? And they'll be like, Here's my Instagram. Go take a look, right? It's kind of become a resume, right? We talked about that with Electrician Man.
Yeah, 100%. That's how I've pretty much built my business, is through Instagram. People just see my work there. Like I said, I haven't really started doing videos until now. I've done a few, and I'm just getting better with them. but I would post a lot of my, just my work, like bathrooms done, showers done. And I built big relationships with builders and stuff. And yeah, it was all through Instagram, pretty much Instagram, word of mouth. And yeah.
It's huge, man.
Yeah.
That's huge. Like, could you imagine what our forefathers would have thought? And by forefathers, I mean like Gen X and the boomers would have thought it had you been like, I'm using the internet to promote my business.
I know, right? Like, without it, like, yeah, I probably, you get work here and there. There'd be different forms of someone trying to find you, but how would they ever know? Like, that's one thing is like, how would they be able to trust someone's work? Like, if they don't see it, right? Yep. And people used to do that. They used to just hire a contractor just because. And
back in my day, I put in 80 hours of unpaid time going door to door saying, can I do your floors? You know, like, like, you need your floors done, I'll do them. You know, and yeah. Now it's like, look at my shit.
Yeah. I mean, I was always nervous to start my own business because it was like, you're just kind of, you know, people have bills, you need to make a dime. And I was like, what if it doesn't work? What if, but yeah, man, I've never slowed down since I've started. So
that's good, man. That's huge. That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's, I was pretty lucky. Mind you, I put in the work too, right?
It's still a lot of work, man. It's like a full-time job on top of a full-time job, man. You know, like,
100%.
Man, I worked 170 hours this pay period. I probably worked another 100 on social media, right? Like, it's exhausting, man. It's fucking like the podcast. I've had to learn to put the podcast down when I've gotten a certain amount of episodes ahead where I can just relax for the rest of the month. I just gotta, this one comes out, I'll upload it, I'll leave it alone and focus on my content. And then when it comes time to restock the cupboard with the podcast, I'll put the content aside. I'll be like,
Sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was gonna
say, do you ever find it exhausting? Like, as far as like the whole social media thing with the work to that, do you, like, obviously you enjoy it, right? We all enjoy it, but do you have some days where you're just like, holy shit, like, I need to take a step back. It's just too much on my brain. You know what I mean?
Sometimes there, and I've learned to, hey, it comes with, when I first started, and up until last summer, I believe it was last summer, I had to post once or twice a day, every day, right? Just to remain relevant, right? And now it's like, 100%, if I didn't post anything that day, then I'm not posting. I'm not going to work extra hard just to find something, and maybe I'm not feeling it that day, right?
And if
I go a couple of days, it's okay, right? Like, the algorithm will punish me for it, but I'll get back in the algorithm's favor. You know, I got good content, right? I'll work up, and it's not about the views anymore either. I'm putting the videos up for me. If anyone else likes them, bonus, right? So
it's my
outlet. It's my outlet. So, you know, I work a lot. I'm away from my family a lot. So, you know, it's my outlet. It's something to help me do something other than work.
100%. No, man, I respect the hustle, man. Like, you got kids, you're married, you work away, you're doing a podcast. You're putting content out, like, good content. I mean, it's just, it's admirable, dude. Like, that's awesome.
I appreciate that, man. It's, I've had people come up to me on site and be like, man, like, I love your shit, you know? Like, thank you for doing what you do. You know, you're putting a smile on our faces when we don't want to smile, right? And I'm like, that's what I did it for, man. You know what I mean? I was at the beginning of the pandemic. We're going into year four of content creation, right? Year four, man. I'm blown away. That's been 4 years. Whatever 365 days times four is, that's insane. And so, you know, the fact that we're that far into it, right, and still having a good time, you know, the podcast is just over a year old, and I was away from home for 6 months at a time when I started it, and that's why I needed to do it, right? It was depressing, right? And I couldn't find anything that made me laugh, right? So I'm like, well, if I can't find anything, I'm gonna make it, right?
And
it got me out of a funk. I was not in a good headspace. I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to end it kind of headspace. But like, it was just like, this sucks, you know, like, life is shit right now. Right. And
100%.
It wasn't that life was shit. It was the situation was shit.
Yeah.
I found myself like almost crying at times, right? Like I'm sitting there driving down the street and like randomly I just start like tears would come to my eyes. I'd be like, what the fuck? Be a man. Be a man.
Be a man.
Be a man. But turns out, hey, we talk about it all the time, man. Mental health is huge, right?
Huge, man.
Like, do you ever experience with your work, you know, like that, you know, how's the mental health side for you and your blue collar side of shit?
I mean, it's fine there. I mean, just back in the day when I was out west and stuff, I struggled with addiction and stuff. So, yeah, man, everyone's. You know, I feel like everyone struggles with a certain amount of mental health. It's just whether how you know how to cope with it or not. And it's just always moving forward and being positive about turning a bad situation to a good situation, right? So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's all about mindset. And I talk about it a lot where, you know, like everyone thinks that, you know, not crying or asking for help is being a man, but like, you know, reaching out and asking for help and taking a hand that's being extended to you is the manliest thing you can do. Really.
100%.
It's 100%. Crazy. It's crazy how that mind shifts, right?
Yeah. Being open about your issues and talking about it. It's only going to grow you as a man and as a person. So it's like, yeah, I 100% agree.
Yeah, man. Like in the blue collar world, especially, you know, like it's full of manly masculine alpha types, right? And like we're coming out of that generation now of boomers and gen x's who are like, you know I'm gonna shove my feelings deep down in here until one day I'm gonna fucking overdose on something or wrap my car around a pole, or you know, I'm gonna go home and become a UFC fighter with my wife, you know. And it's like, oh shit, you know, like, man, first of all, my wife would beat the shit out of me. she would break me.
Yeah. Yeah, man, like it's good, man. It's a good thing to talk about it, because then that's when worse things happen, is when you hold it all in and then you just have one of those blow up moments.
So, hell yeah. I try not to blow up too much, like
I can't see you blowing up, but yeah.
Yeah, no. I had a hammer in my hand last summer.
And, that's a good.
Yeah, and the crew truck was right there, like brand new crew truck. I'm like sitting there, and like something really made me mad, and I looked at the truck, and I was on the phone with my wife. I'm like, I gotta call you back, right? And I hung up, and I went to go whip it at the side of the truck, and then I just last minute I flicked my wrist up, and it went over the truck and hit the ground on the other side. And I'm like, this is probably cheaper than what would have happened, you know? Like, yeah, I was mad, right? And I quickly got over it. So it was like, you know, like it wasn't worth beating the shit out of a truck for. I can tell you that much.
100%. Yeah.
It was funny, though. Afterwards, I laughed about it. I'm like, man, could you imagine that? I looked at it, I'm like, man, that almost escalated quickly. Things almost really got out of hand there, you know, like.
Yeah, they could have.
Yeah, man, yeah. I like watching like Tyler's videos, dude. Like, you know, you're going up and you got like this small of a space left, and you're just like, fucking, you gotta kind of like Jenga the shit, or not Jenga, but Tetris the shit out of that sometimes. Yeah, man. Yeah, like that's cool.
Yeah, man. There's definitely some. I mean, I guess for the ones that kind of get noticed and are good at what they do are kind of pushing those limits where they're making that extra little cut or that extra little detail, because that's the difference, what separates each Tyler, right? So,
yeah,
man, it's cool. Like, I find it fun when I get into a scenario. I'm like, like, how can I make this look good? Like, the hardest piece possible, make it look like something crazy.
How many pieces do you go through when you're trying, like, how many pieces have you fucked up and we're like, no, that's not it, throw that aside, grab another one, and like, you know, you just start eating into the cost?
Depends on how much extra the client has. No, but there's times, man, where you don't have that opportunity. Like, there's obviously, there's lots of fails, man. There's always fails. But it doesn't feel good when you know you have like one extra tile and you fuck up on it, and it takes 3 weeks to get another tile in. So
Oof. I'm a measure once cut twice kind of guy. So,
measure once, cut
oh
twice.
man. Oh yeah. Like, you know what? Like measure once, cut twice. And it's like, well, that one's a little small. I'm not measuring it again. I'm like half an inch out. I'll just keep cutting until it fits right. Right. Like, I don't give a fuck. I'm not a professional either. Right. So like, I'm not doing it like the food on my table depends on it either. Right.
No.
So yeah.
No, man, it can be nerve-wracking for sure, but you get her done.
What is the what do you get paid like per tile? Is it like piecework or is it like hourly or?
For me, like, it all depends on the client or the builder. Like, if they want it broken down in square footage price, you can do it that way. Mainly, I charge a day rate. I just charge a day rate. It's easier for me. Keep the materials separate. It's just easier that way, because if you're breaking down square foot, you get to break down the square foot for like the underlayment, the waterproofing membrane,
Yeah.
the square foot for the tile. It just adds up, and it's kind of a headache.
So, how much? Okay, so like Jesse, the slim brick was telling me how much a brick is worth to him, right? And we're not talking like Pablo Escobar bricks here. We're talking like masonry bricks. What would one tile be worth to you if you were on like on a per piece rate?
Square foot, it all depends. I mean, it's a competitive world for here,
Is
right?
it?
So
Is it?
yeah,
Is tiling
it's a
competitive?
as far as pricing, it can be. It seems to me that everyone has their own price, and they kind of keep it on the wraps.
Oh, I see what you're saying here. I won't ask.
Yeah.
I won't ask again. Oh shit.
No, everyone's different, but like it could be different, because if you're talking about like a basic subway tile, it would be cheaper than if you were doing like a mosaic marble sheet, or if you're cutting marble. But yeah, it's all different, man. That's why I like keeping my day rate. If I can keep my day rate, then I don't have to get into all the different square footages and
Yeah.
pricing.
Hell yeah. And then this is how much I'm gonna make today,
Same
right?
and same with the client. They appreciate that too, because I go into a job, I say, okay, this is gonna take me 8 days, right? And then I just know what my day rate's going to be, my hourly rate, and I tell them exactly the price. They're happy with the price, and that's fine.
You don't supply the material, right? They supply the material.
I will supply, it'll be charged separately, but I will supply like all the prepping material, as far as like the if we're losing Sluter material or whatever, the underlayment, the everything
Badass.
that's yeah. But as far as the tile, I always get the client to pick up the tile.
Nice, man. That's pretty good, actually. That's not a bad
Yeah.
deal. I don't think that's a
No.
bad deal at all.
No. Yeah, pricing's a little bit competitive, I think, personally. I don't really give out my prices.
No,
I
hey,
know
Mike,
my,
I'm not
yeah.
gonna ask that. I'm not gonna ask that, bro. Oof.
I just
Hey, I
got
didn't
charged
realize
my
it was so
phone here, buddy.
competitive. Yeah, man, whatever. Where do you see your business going in the next like five? What's your 5-year plan with it, I guess? Like, are you, oh, I'm gonna have like people working for me in the next 5 years or what?
I'd like to. I mean, I'd like to see it grow to that point. It's just finding the time. The problem is that when if you get helpers and you train them, and then you train them good, then they more or less probably want to go off and do their own thing, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be the ideal thing, is to grow my business into a point where I can be out making the quotes and doing all the road work, and not so much the labor. But who knows? I don't mind doing the labor either. I kind of enjoy it. So
There you go, man. That's bad. Yeah, that's not too bad either. Like,
no.
but like it's like a pyramid scheme, right? You bring in someone, you train them, and then they become your competition, right?
That's
Like,
what I get nervous about, right? Is like you train them, you show them all your techniques, your pricing. They'll know all your pricing. And then they, who's to say they can't just go off and do it themselves? And then you just added another guy to the books of trying to compete with. So,
yeah. Then there's another guy to add to the hit list. Hey, yeah. This podcast has been on a federal watch list for like over a year now. It's good. You know, like we're good. I had Chris Barber, the leader of the Freedom Convoy, on episode 3. We're on a federal watch list already.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know, man. I'm happy where I'm at. Like, I don't have any complaints. Like, there's business is doing well, and you know, just happy things are growing.
Yeah.
And supporting the blue collar. I get a train. Sun's in my eyes.
I'm not gonna keep you too much longer. Anyways, I'm gonna go try to go back to camp and have a little nap here before I gotta go to work. But yeah, man,
that sounds nice.
Yeah, man. I like to end the pod with one last question, and it's usually like a brain buster, man. Like a lot of, and it's meant to be that way. You spend the whole episode like fucking talking and never knowing if we're gonna be talking about a giant dick or we're gonna be talking about like someone being murder suicided, right? And you know, and then I hit you with this one, and it's like so every, you know, Mount Rushmore has 4 of the most influential people on it, and you know, so if you could have your own Mount Rushmore, 4 people that you look up to, aspire to be there, or that inspired you, who would they be and why? Dead, alive, fiction, nonfiction, doesn't matter.
Man, that's a tough one. I would probably say, oof, that's a tough one. 4 of them, that'd be tough. Definitely my father would be up there. He inspired me. He's always been there for me. I think more or less, dude, like if I could engrave just the support I've had through that inspired me as far as my family and you know, my wife and stuff like that, as corny as it sounds, but those are the ones that mean the most to me. So it's like, I don't know. And then maybe Conor McGregor could go up there too. So,
ooh, nice. That's 3 or what?
What's that?
Was that 3? Your wife, your dad, and Conor McGregor?
No, just I would say like if anything, like if you're saying the most important people that played a big role, it would just be my family in general. Like it would be.
Okay.
Mother, my father, my wife, but like, yeah, sorry.
Why Conor McGregor? What has he done? He's just a badass. I get, I understand.
He's just a badass, man.
He's just a badass.
I just think he's just, I just like his style, man. I just think he's the greatest, you know. Wayne Gretzky would be up there. He's a big, big guy in the Canadian world. So, and
him and Ellen DeGeneres share a birthday, eh?
Yeah. What about you? Have you already picked?
Oh yeah. Well, my dad's up there as someone who I don't want to be, right? So like, he's influenced me on how to go a completely different way in life. Yeah. My wife and my kids, my nana, and Austin Matthews.
Austin Matthews.
I'm a big Ovechkin fan. Ovechkin's my favorite NHLer of all time, but Austin Matthews single-handedly saved the Toronto Maple Leafs. So
are you a big Maple Leafs fan, eh?
Oh yeah. I'm moving away from the NHL, so more or less because the NHL is a shit league, but they're just terrible. They're horrible.
It's getting better. It's getting better though. Like with they brought in that Matt Rempe.
Man, Matt Rempe's a monster. Dude. Yeah. He's like 6'7" off skates, man. Like the other night he hit Lyubushkin in the head and it was like, he left his feet. He didn't leave his feet, man. Like he didn't need to leave his feet. His elbow was already at his head. Like that's just where his elbow sits. This kid, man, George LaRocque said it on Twitter the other day. He said, I can't wait till this kid realizes how strong he is and he realizes that he's got a reach on him. Right. Yeah. When nobody's going to want to fight this kid in a couple of years. Wait, have you seen a picture of him outside of his gear? He looks like a baby.
That's what I mean. I mean, I was surprised because he fought Reeves the other night. And I personally think, I mean, look at his face. Like, look at it. His face was just dialed, like, as far as like, it just looked like mush. And like, I could tell he didn't really want to go. But,
well, if you're that big and you're going to be throwing hits like that, you have to go.
I think he's like going to be like a Probert, just his size and his like the way he plays.
Yeah,
if
maybe
he keeps, if he keeps it up, I don't know. We'll see. I can't stand Reeves, man.
As a Leaf fan who is leaning more towards skill, I don't want a guy like Reeves on my team, anyways. You know, who's he taking a roster spot away from right now that deserves it, right? Like, you got Matthew Nyes, you got Cowan or whatever you say his name. The team is full of guys. Austin Matthews can throw the body. He's a big dude.
Oh yeah,
let him Matthews throw the body.
Matthews is sick.
Yeah, he's going to finish with like 70 goals, so.
Yeah.
It's insane.
That's good, man. Yeah, no. That would be my support, man. You know, my mother, father, you know, brother, wife.
It's amazing, man.
They've been very supportive with my whole upbringing, so.
With the exception of Austin Matthews and my dad, the rest of them are my family that I look up to. My dad is someone who's like a beacon of who not to be, right? I need him up there to remind me that, like,
mind you,
like, go the other way, do it differently, don't be this guy, right? Like, fair, man. You know, like,
Man. It's good that you have that to remind you. You know, sometimes they say, like, you know, to move on past certain things, but sometimes it's nice to have that reminder of what you don't want to be or where you want to go back to, you know.
Oh yeah, I gotta keep my kids away from that guy, so you know, like, just shit that's happened over the years and things I've seen and heard, and you know, it's just I'm good, man. I'm gonna be over here doing my own thing, right? Like,
right,
you know, you don't tell me how to run my family with your track records, so you know,
you're a father now, right? So it's your time.
So I got to protect my kids from people like that. So,
Right on, man.
Yeah, man.
That's good.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, this has been fun, man. I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah.
We finally got it done, man. We finally got it done, you know. So,
no, I appreciate you asking me to come on, man. It's, I think you're a great person, buddy. And I think I really do. So, appreciate it.
I appreciate that. I never get tired of hearing it, but you know, I appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Hey, man, you stay frosty.
Yeah, buddy. Thanks.